Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petragallo, and I usually say welcome to hell, but this is great today.
This is a great one this week.
So much fun.
If this is your first week with us, welcome. If this is not your first week, welcome back.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes, we like to take these movies and relive them in painful and excruciating detail. So we thank you guys for hanging out with us and thank you for your reviews and your Patreon donations.
Yes, they help a lot. Thank you.
Thank you just for being you. You're wonderful.
Each and every one of you. Thank you for just
being
great people.
Each and every one of you.
Great
you're
people.
Wonderful.
All right, enough ass kissing.
I'm not ass kissing.
Well, I am.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm kissing
okay.
ass. I'm saying thank
anyway,
you. I'm laying it on heavy.
We are on Patreon. We do bonus content. We talk about 90 Day Fiancé. We play some fun little movie games or, you know, where we try to figure out where James thinks that violence adds into romantic comedies for some reason.
Yeah, so
someone
they'll
always
have me
get stabbed.
Rewrite movies based on certain factors. It's always fun when we
oh,
do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, on the podcast, oh, sorry, that's patreon.com/YouGotHeigeld, YouGotHeigeld. And that's where you can get that fun stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you for doing that, by the way.
The last time that we convened, we had to take a couple weeks. Sorry. So our work schedule just kind of really blows lately.
And then we had a sick dog too, and that
was... Frankie was all drooly. She's fine.
Yeah, she's fine.
I think she just had like an upset stomach for some reason.
Yeah,
maybe
but
she
that's
was
all right.
overacting because she's obsessed with James. So maybe she was just kind of acting out because
she feels better now because we watched an awesome movie.
Yes,
I think.
Last week that's we watched a bad movie. Oh no, the last time it was Cinderella Story, and maybe she was very sick from that movie. And then this week we watched Honeymoon in Vegas, which is a wonderful movie, but there are some flaws.
Well, it's silly. I mean, if you want to look at it in a realistic way, it's silly, but the comedy in
it. Yes, we're looking at it in a hyper-realistic
way. Yes, that's
way.
The thing. But the comedy of it, Nicolas Cage, I must say off the bat, Nicolas Cage in comedy is wonderful.
Yeah, he's great.
He is he's a good dramatic actor and everything. Obviously, he's a he's kind of a joke now and whatever, but for a while, before he was like a caricature of Nicolas Cage and he was doing movies to pay the IRS, before that, he was hilarious in this.
Yeah, he's
and
really
Moonstruck,
funny in this movie.
He's really funny. Yeah. So I have to give him his credit, and that's all I'm saying.
He deserves this credit, James.
Yeah, and Sarah Jessica Parker, too. She was hilarious in it, too, honestly.
Everybody
she was
is
really
fabulous.
Good.
Here James goes with that ass kissing again. Okay, here we go. We watched Honeymoon in Vegas, 1992, 1 hour, 36 minutes, which is just right on the
Perfect.
Money of what we deem tolerable
Absolutely.
For our romantic comedy. It's starring Sarah Jessica Parker, James Caan, and Nicolas Cage. The IMDb description is Jack loses $65,000 in poker in Las Vegas, where he's marrying Betsy. The wedding will have to wait, as the poker winner wants the weekend with Betsy to cancel the debt. She accepts. Whom will she marry?
Accurate. It's accurate.
Accurate, but also like...
Makes
really
it sound
weird.
Dark.
If you've never seen the movie and you're like trying to look at it and you're like, what's that movie about? Like, there's a lot going on and like it seems kind of overwhelming.
It seems super dark, which if you look at the movie just in plot and you don't look at the tone that they use, it's a very dark plot. It really is.
Oh,
from the very beginning and then they go there and then there's this gangster. The whole thing's very dark. It's a very dark film.
Let's get through the taglines and
please.
The fun facts. There's three taglines. They're kind of lame, but that's fine. Tagline number one, a comedy without... No. Hold on. A comedy about one bride, two grooms, and a wedding party you won't believe. Which, not really. No, that's really misleading.
That doesn't describe it. Yeah. It seems like a Julia Roberts movie is what that sounds like.
Tagline number two. A comedy about one bride, two grooms, and 34 flying Elvises. It's just kind of, you know, brief of the first one. And then the third one, which I think should be the one that is the winner. It's a love that's all shook up.
Okay.
Because like a little Elvis. Yeah. Ba-ba-da-ba, and it is they all really, shook up.
Well, yeah. But I think.
Because gambling.
Because of the game. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I still feel like they should have kept working. They should
because
have,
gambling and
they should
grief.
Have kept the mining going on that one and come up with a better log line the than fun, any three or tagline than any of those three.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They all suck.
They could use some reworking.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But that's fine. We can't retroactively yell at people for doing.
Well, it's like they put Elvis in it, but really, besides the little bit, like the ending and then just being in the background, Elvis has nothing to do with this move. There's not like Elvis doesn't like save the day. There's no like Elvis riddle that you none of that shit happens. So
yeah, it wasn't like he really idolized Elvis.
No,
and he wanted to get married. Yeah,
he never mentions Elvis.
Really with Elvis.
No.
Anyway, speaking of Elvis, little Elvis was played by a young Bruno Mars.
Yeah, you can see it too.
He's
it's cute. You can look at him and goes, Bruno Mars as a kid? Like it's he looks like someone miniaturized Bruno Mars.
Yeah, once
fucked up.
I saw that fun fact as I was like, oh, I wonder where I'll see him. And then as soon as he popped up, I was like, there he is.
There he is.
He's
like
so
I wonder if he had cocaine in his pocket like he usually does when he's in Vegas.
Well, probably.
Probably. That dude's talented as fuck.
He's amazing. Yeah. Even at seven.
It's even a little kid, you're like, that kid's fucking talented. You can just see he's like got some presence on him. And
yeah, he's got some charisma. He's got
you
some
can
stage
see it.
Presence. He's fucking killing
it. Yeah, good job.
A really great Elvis. He should do another He should do another impersonation.
Well, it's good that he's grown out of that, actually.
No.
That's probably for the best.
You should always,
imagine if he didn't.
Yeah,
imagine if he just stayed.
Just an Elvis impersonator.
And he was still there. He's like, I've been doing this since I was 7 years old. Maybe you saw me in Honeymoon in Vegas. That would be amazing. Just his career. He lives in like a hotel room, like a shitty, tiny, like, motel room. He's like, Bruno Mars, how you doing?
He always orders like a whole of a blue cheeseburger.
Yeah, he's just overweight from bad food and bad times. He's got an alcohol problem and can't afford cocaine. And I think he took the right path is what I'm getting at.
We're proud of you, Bruno Mars.
Good job, Bruno Mars, if you're listening, which I know you are, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Clearly you listen.
You've been looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we start the movie off in a New York hospital in 1987, where Nicolas Cage is walking down the hallway.
Dark, too. It's a dark, like, opening.
It's a dark hospital. It looks very dingy. Doesn't look great in there. He's walking in the hallway. He walks in a room where we see what's presumed to be his mother, but we do find out that it is his mother. It's Barbara from Heartbreakers. And she's laying down on the bed and she's dying. And she says that, you know, if I go tonight, you know, just know that I love you so much and promise me that you'll never get married.
Yeah, yeah. Promise me you'll always love me and you'll never get married.
Yeah.
Two things.
And she tells him, no one will ever love you like I love you. It's kind of like she's like cursing him.
Yeah, this
almost.
Shit is, this is fucked up. I hope that she had like a brain disease.
He's like, Mom, I can't promise you that.
Yeah.
What if I want to get married? And she's like, no, getting married is the worst. You're never gonna, you know, blah blah blah. No one's gonna love you like I love you. And it does seem very crazy.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's if she doesn't have a tumor pressing on her brain or something, then this is just evil. She's just a bad mother.
I hope that she doesn't have that because they really just disrespected her in this transition here. She dies. They like freeze frame her face, which is a very awful, like weird, like cartoon face. And they freeze frame her face into a cartoon storm cloud. And I was like, oh, Barbara.
That then expels rain onto cartoon Nicolas Cage's
head.
And
then it goes into this weird animation that's kind of like Monty Python-ish. Like, it's really dark and very,
there's a bunch
scary.
Of movies that from that time period that would have like weird little sort of animations of like the movie with the credits over it in the beginning.
Yeah.
It was fucking weird. And it's like Nicolas Cage trying to get Sarah Jessica Parker's cartoon off the top of a wedding cake.
Yeah.
We're trying to get onto it. Whatever.
There's a message that we are supposed to get from this, but we don't understand that there is a message being transmitted to us because we're just on a ride. We are a passenger.
That's
and
right.
We're being good passengers.
You should be a good passenger in this movie. You'll be rewarded.
Yes, you will be rewarded. Okay, so then there's voiceover time with Nicolas Cage. We learn that he's like a private
it's
investigator.
A kid show. Voiceover time with Nicolas Cage. Hey, kids. How you doing? Anybody give me the damn book? Where's the storybook?
If you would have told
Jesus
me about
Christ.
The bathroom.
The urinals are all the way down on the floor. How am I supposed to use
them?
We
should redo Kindergarten Cop with Nicolas Cage. I would like for him to scream at children now.
Kindergarten Cop has been canceled, I just read. Not allowed to, like, you know, don't make that a warm part of your childhood, this stupid movie about a giant guy who didn't have a tumor, because that's all you remember of it.
Can I just have, maybe he won't be Kindergarten Cop, maybe he can be Kindergarten something else.
Yeah,
but
something.
I just want Nicolas Cage in a room being a substitute teacher for 5-year-olds.
That would be fun.
I don't care what the story is. Yeah, I just, that's the vibe.
That's just his new career.
For.
He's going to try to be a teacher. He's like Press Belusky on The Wire, and he's like, I'm going to be a teacher now, and he's like, come on, kids, sit down.
Yeah, what if he's just...
Kids, sit down.
Like,
sit down!
Like a news reporter who's like, you know what? I want to give the life of... Okay, let's get David Simon to write this, where you have a reporter, journalist guy who wants to live in the trenches of being a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah.
And then the...
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
I'd watch that.
Get your hands out of your pants.
Let's go. Get your hands out of your pants. You'd just be yelling.
Did you just pick your boogers and eat it? Okay.
There's boogers all over everything.
So now we're at Nicolas Cage's PI desk. So he kind of just, he follows around people when, you know, people think that their wives or husbands are cheating on them. So he takes pictures with this camera where he's like,
yeah, one of those little little spy cam.
And you know exactly what we're talking about when we go.
Yeah, they go. Like you push it
the,
in.
The
and
pictures
it,
would be very, very blurry.
Oh, the camera's moving like crazy because you're... He's
I wouldn't
like
want to hire this PI because I'd be like, can you get like a Nikon or something?
Yeah, no, but I guess
get
this
like
is like...
Canon.
It'd be helpful now with a phone. It'd be much easier.
Yeah.
But he's got like a fake mustache on. He's like looking from behind a newspaper.
He's aviators on. You get to see the many different sides of this character that he's so good at, you know, his job. He's got all these disguises. He's able to... take pictures of people when they're cheating on their spouses, and he is just wonderful.
He is. He's chicka chicken all over the
so
place.
So now we stop the voiceover, and now we're in it.
Oh, it's in it now. Now the voiceover ends.
There's a very sweaty man, and he says that his wife is having an affair with Mike Tyson. Nicolas Cage kind of doesn't believe him.
Well, he's like a 60-year-old bald fat man, and I can't remember his name. He's a character actor.
He is very convinced of this.
He's like, she's having an affair with the champ.
And everyone at work says that she's actually having an affair with Freddie Ramirez, but...
At the Sunrise Motel.
Yeah, he knows that it's the champ. Yeah. So he's like, a beautiful girl like her, like, of course, it's got to be Mike Tyson.
And they show her picture, and she's just like, you know, a female version of him.
Eating
sitting
Doritos,
on the couch eating Doritos.
And
he's like,
fine.
She's a lovely young lady, but I don't know. How does she know Mr. Tyson, is what he says.
Have you seen them together?
Yeah.
So he's upset because nobody believes him. And then we go back to voiceover because now we're being introduced to... The
SJP.
Love interest, we're being introduced to Sarah Jessica Parker. She is Nicolas Cage's girlfriend. She's a second grade teacher. She's beautiful. And she is having a full-on argument about what a deadbeat Jacob's dad is right in front of Jacob.
Yeah, she's talking to a parent.
She's like, Milton just left. And the mom's like, I know. And she's just doing this whole thing. And like, it's really traumatized Jacob. And Jacob's just sitting there like, you know, on his Game Boy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this an appropriate conversation?
No.
To have in there front was, of everybody on recess as
yeah,
well.
There was other kids that are going to go, Jacob's dad fucking took off, I heard. Like, that's not cool.
Yeah, be nice
that shit should
Jacob.
Be in private.
Yeah.
That wasn't cool
Jacob,
at all.
Yeah, that's why Jacob plays Game Boy.
Yeah, Jacob's just going to go into his own little world.
Deal. Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be bad for Jacob.
This
Jacob's going to have a rough
mechanism.
Time.
He's wanted to play Game Boy because he can control.
Yeah.
That, where he can't like, control his mom and dad fighting.
Tetris. I figured
see,
that's
what I told you guys? Dark. Poor Jacob.
Dude, I'm telling you, this movie's dark if you take the jokes out.
Nicolas Cage keeps having nightmares about his mom. And so it cuts to him in bed with Sarah Jessica Parker. And she's like, was it your mom again? Because, you know, she's just recently passed away, like, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah,
it's
in the last 3 years or 4 years or whatever.
And he's like, yeah, I had another dream about mom. And he said that mom was naked and vacuuming, which now it's starting to worry me.
Yeah. He's got some problems.
He's got some problems here. He's having nightmares about his mother being nude, which is,
that's a nightmare.
Yeah. But I felt bad for him because Sarah Jessica Parker was like, why don't you go see a shrink? which I love that. In the 90s, like, you're like, yeah, oh, have you seen a shrink?
Yeah. Well, you go see a shrink. Yeah. It was like, yeah, go, they'll solve you.
Yeah.
They'll fix
and
you right up.
So she's like, maybe you need to go see a shrink. And he says, I can't afford it.
He goes, that's too much money and I'd rather handle it myself anyway.
Yeah. Which
he's
makes
an
me
independent
sad
guy.
Because
yeah,
he should have help available to him.
That would be true, yeah. But no, he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. And he just wants to get through it. I don't think he wants
to go sit down and explain. Yeah, I mean, that's cool that he wants to confront it and whatever. But I mean, if you're having dreams about your mom nude vacuuming, like, that's, maybe it's time to just, I mean, just talk about it out loud.
With someone.
Go through the process. It can be with SJP.
Yeah, I don't know. She was there.
Or with the man that's sweating and thinks that his wife is going out with
that
Mike Tyson.
That guy's got a whole other thing, set of problems that I don't think
Nicolas
Cage...
But I mean, at least you can get that out and you, like, he's not going to say anything that's helpful to you and then you just have it out and then you can work it out yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not trying to be this guy's therapist here. But anyway, Sarah Jessica Parker is just the best girlfriend in the whole world. She brings food to them. She doesn't care if the guys have poker night. She helps him on a sting with private, you know, being a private investigator. Like, she'll be pretending to buy the fake watches that he's selling, I guess.
When she was talking all loud.
Yeah.
Almost blew the whole thing.
And then he does the secret spy camera. He takes a picture of some guy making out with some other girl. You know, and she's like, and Sarah Jessica Parker's like, that guy's got four kids.
Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah. Anybody can have four kids.
Nicolas
Cage makes the comment here. It's very dark and it's very deep. He tells Sarah Jessica Parker, "You're too beautiful to like blend in." And he says, "Me, I'm very good at being inconspicuous. I'm every man."
Oh,
and I was like, "Oh,
Nicolas Cage, every man,
just every man." Nicolas Cage.
It's his next movie. Nicolas Cage.
But it comes up later in that Nicolas Cage was able to go into this flying Elvis's thing, just kind of very unassuming. And, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker was dressed up like one of the Vegas showgirls, which she was
a shorter version. Just a shorter version.
Yeah, she was Sarah Jessica Parker in an
outfit. All the other ones were like 6'2", and then she was like up at their, you know, her head came up to their shoulder.
Yep. So we kind of hear that their relationship has been on the rocks because Sarah Jessica Parker wants more out of the relationship. She wants to get married. She wants to, you know,
in true 1991 whatever. Fashion, she's like, we need to get married. I want to have kids already. I need to get it going. Like, that was every movie.
She's, you know, she's upset. She wants, you know, enough with the mom stuff already here. Like, you need to go talk to somebody seriously. Like, and, you know, I want to get married. I want to have kids. Like, you know, and they're getting distant here.
Yeah, they're like eating out at, they're having Italian food. Nicolas Cage is wearing a white shirt for some reason,
a white long sleeve button down polo.
Courting disaster there.
But he asks, Nicolas Cage asks his friend Sally Mohlers for a little bit of advice. He's like, "What do I do here? Because it's kind of getting weird." And he says, "You should just ask her to marry you. Like, you know, what's the problem here?"
Yeah,
which makes me think that Sally Mohlers should have been more available to him.
Well, he's a bookie and he's got his own things going on.
I know, but like that was good advice.
It was good advice. Yeah. He's going to be good for advice. Sally Mohlers is like his, you know, his guy the whole time. First, he owed me $50 for that. So Nicolas Cage gives him $50 and then they're talking.
So they're in the car. I think it's later on because I don't think it's like right after dinner. But anyway, they're in the car. It's raining. And he says, "Let's just get married tomorrow. Let's go to Vegas. Let's go get married." And she's like, "Oh, are you serious?" And James's favorite line, "I must be, my legs are paralyzed."
"I must be, my legs are paralyzed." He delivers it very well.
They're very excited. They're going to go get married. They're going to get on the plane. We're in Vegas now because we're doing like a little bit of parallel editing here. We're setting up our Vegas scene here. We meet James Caan. I don't know why seeing gangsters by the pool. It's always hilarious. They're always fully clothed.
Well, yeah, because
they're
not,
like, a thicker.
They're not festive. They're
got a thicker shirt.
Yeah, they got like a.
You're like, that shirt looks sweaty, and you're by the pool, and also it's 108 degrees, and like you're wearing an undershirt,
pants, and an undershirt,
button-down shirt on.
They're eating a sandwich. It's
and then that one guy is just eating a walking sandwich,
his bodyguard is Johnny Roast Beef from Goodfellas. He's the guy with the big pink Cadillac who gets yelled at, who said, "I thought I told you everybody to fucking not show it," and blah blah blah. "It's in my mother's name, and I just got married. It's a present from my mother. It's in my mother's name."
Yeah.
Yeah, and he ends up dead in the. Now he's in this movie.
Well, yeah, now he's... because when was Goodfellas?
Right, it was, what, 89?
Okay, Goodfellas? Yeah. Well, okay, then good. You got another
91?
Job.
Was it 91?
I don't know, it might have been 91.
Fuck, I think it was 91.
Well, now he's got.
It's right around the same time.
Yeah. Anyway, so
definitely typecast.
The most
typecast person in the world is a fat Italian.
Yeah,
you will get one role, and that is as a fat Italian guy who's sitting next to a more important guy. That's
you
only going to be your
get
role.
One role.
Or a fat Italian guy who's somebody's grandfather.
Bread roll.
Yeah, they sit there with bread eating a sandwich. At least that's one
they
good thing.
They get plenty of rolls.
Well,
yes, bread rolls.
Bread rolls.
Did
one
you
nice
get my
thing.
Joke?
Yeah, I got your
Thank
joke.
You.
It was just terrible, so I went over.
No, but it was a joke.
The one nice thing about being that guy is you get to eat sandwiches in every scene that you act in.
It's pretty
which
awesome.
It's pretty fucking great. I would love. I'd be an actor if I could eat in every scene.
Well, you can. You can just be like, this is, I feel like, what my character would do. Okay. So we find out about James Caan's wife, Donna May. Her name is not Donna May. I just am going to call her from here on out Donna May, because Donna, may she rest in peace.
Yeah, Donna, may she rest in peace. And it's Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
You know,
she used
period.
To be so beautiful. Yeah. It's like he sees her like, you know, in a mirage across the pool. It's Sarah Jessica Parker with like a big 50s wig or something like that.
Yeah, like
and
just a bigger hair.
He,
reading
you know,
a Sidney
she's
Sheldon
beautiful.
Book.
And I think she had skin cancer or something
that. So the doctor said he never saw skin like that, like a saddlebag.
Saddlebag. I was
she'd go out and sit there with those Sidney Sheldon novels and sit there all day, no matter where
this,
we were.
This movie did make me want to read a book.
Oh, me
so
too.
Bad.
I kept seeing books, and I'm like, remember books?
Read a
wow.
Book.
Remember when you just picked a whole book up? It wasn't in
a book.
Yeah, you turned actual pages. That looked great.
Anyway, James Caan sees Sarah Jessica Parker with Nicolas Cage. He's like, oh my God, that looks just like Donna May. May she rest in peace.
May she rest in peace.
That's who just passed away. So
Ernie Shavers is there, the boxer.
Oh, yeah.
You know your old boxing.
That's
He's
right. I forgot about
great
him.
Great old boxer.
In their room, in Nicolas Cage's and Sarah Jessica Parker's room, they get an invite to a poker game. It says that all the new guests get to play poker. He's saying, that must be fun, so let's go do that. Like, that sounds kind of cool.
I'm going to do that, yeah.
And,
which wouldn't have worked on me. They would have slid whatever under the door. I would have looked at it as like, are they telling me that something is broken or something? No, and I would have thrown it right in the garbage.
Turning off my water?
Yeah, like every other goddamn hotel. Oh, we'll be doing maintenance tonight.
Yeah, we will be turning the water off from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m.
No flushing your toilet for 4 hours.
Or brushing
Enjoy.
Your teeth or washing your face or anything like
Have
that.
Have fun with that.
Right after you just got done at the comedy club shaking everybody's hands.
Yeah. Yay.
Okay. So he says, let's go get some lunch and let's go get married. He's very nervous. Apparently his hands are all clammy. He's just not, you know, whatever. And Sarah Jessica Parker says, let's just go and get married. Like, let's just do it right now since you're nervous. Like, let's just get it over with. And he says, no, we got to do it when the time is right, when the sun is going down.
Get dressed up.
Big mistake. So James Caan is the one who organizes the people playing poker type thing. So it's a poker game.
They act like James Caan like works for the casino. He's like a hospitality guy or something. And obviously
Nicolas Cage is not doing too hot. He tries to quit. James Caan talks him back into the game, saying that he doesn't want him to go back to New York, not liking Vegas, which is a very weird like Italian thing to do.
I don't want you to go back now liking Vegas. You know?
I would have said like, because he does say that. He's like, no, I'm going to feel fine about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm good.
Yeah, he's definitely. He's like, no, I'm all right. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
By the way, we skipped over. We didn't say this, and it's kind of one of those things we can't skip. When James Caan gets to the hotel and he checks in, first of all, he says, "Home sweet home" at the Bally's Hotel in Vegas. There, and he goes up to Tony Shalhoub, or Tony Shalhoub approaches him. Tony Shalhoub is in this as the new floor manager or whatever. He's like, "Hey, how you doing?" Blah blah blah. He goes, "I got to tell you something." He says to Tony Shalhoub, says he goes, "Your presidential suite A is not available right now. Someone's in it." And James Caan grabs him by the balls and squeezes. Packed hotel lobby. This guy's the manager. He's holding him by the nutsack, saying, "You better get that room ready." And the guy's like, "The president of Brazil is in there." He's like, "You better get him out of there." And he's like, "Okay." And then, that's how he, like, just to show you the kind of power he has. He's like,
he's got a lot of power.
"I want my suite that I've been getting every time for 15 years that I've been coming here."
And his weakness is Donna May.
But except with Donna May, he's weak.
Yeah, no power.
Yeah.
So Nicolas Cage starts to do well at poker. I think he's doing well anyway. It seems like it. He's got a lot of chips in front of him. Yeah. I know nothing about poker.
They're playing like draw poker, which they don't. That wouldn't be, guys like that are playing like real poker. They're playing Texas Hold'em. They're not playing fucking five card stud or five card draw like you're, you know, 12 years old.
Yeah.
But they're playing that for thousands of dollars.
So he's doing pretty well. And then, but the last hand that he has a straight flush to the jack. James Caan has a straight flush to the queen. Got a flush right to the queen.
He goes, to the queen.
So he lost, but just barely, apparently. So they start discussing how they can collect Nicolas Cage's $65,000 debt.
Yeah, he's gone into debt to James Caan, who is obviously like a gangster and not the guy you want to be in debt to, clearly, as James Caan starts threatening him.
Well, the funny thing is that now all of a sudden, James Caan does not care about Nicolas Cage's view of Vegas at all.
No, he's
now he's
very
not
little
concerned about the
no,
view of Vegas.
Not worried about his Yelp review right now. All now it's we're past that. At this point,
the
you
hotel,
owe 65 grand.
Yeah, the hotel is not gonna, you know, bat an eye about it.
Yeah,
or
sorry.
Like that, so he's fine. anyway, so he proposes that he says, "Why don't I just have your girlfriend for the weekend?"
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage asks Betsy, "How do you know Betsy?" Like, but he didn't say like, "I'll have your girlfriend Betsy this weekend."
Yeah.
He's like, "Betsy, how do you know Betsy?" Like,
he goes, "Betsy," and he goes, "Oh yeah, yeah. How do you know Betsy?" I
very
saw
very paranoid, crazy.
But then
Caan,
you know, I was keeping an eye on her. And then James Caan explains to him that she looks just like his dead wife.
This is creepy. So he flat out says it. He's like, "Hey, listen, she looks just like my Donna Mae." And he's just like, "Yeah, so if I just have a weekend with her, like, we'll call the 65 grand good.
I'll be a perfect gentleman." Yeah. I won't do anything.
So he says that, you know, if Nicolas Cage lets me hang out with your girlfriend Betsy for the whole weekend, I'll call the 65
grand. It's worth 65 grand. Okay. Yeah, for a platonic weekend with SJP.
Yeah. And he's like, "Well, she'll never go for this." Right. So then he goes and he tells Sarah Jessica Parker that, you know, "Hi, by the way, I'm $65,000 in debt to this man."
Yeah. You know, I fucked
up
a little bit.
So I kind of sort of agreed. Well, I don't even know if he agreed to it. He just said, like, "We need to talk."
Yeah. And he said he'd talk to her and try to get her to do it.
So they're having a very loud argument in front of everything and everyone at this boxing match. They're just like, she's like, "How could you do this?" Like, you know.
Then the arcade when she's screaming,
"You've
made
me
a whore."
Yeah.
"You've made me a whore, Jack. You've taken me to Vegas and made me a whore." And all the kids are like laughing, looking, turning around, like, holy shit.
But the funny thing is that she's so like mad and disgusted with him. And then she's like, "Just one weekend?" Like,
yeah.
So it's like, okay.
Her character in this movie,
I was very upset with her.
I'm upset with a lot of things with this. First of all, they make her like have no, she has nothing of her own. Like she has no motivation to do anything.
No,
it's like,
except for get married.
She's just, yes, they make her like woman who needs, she needs marriage and she wants, because she wants kids. So she's going to nag Nicolas Cage.
Woman needs groom. Yeah.
It's just like this very like stereo. I mean, it's 1991, I guess. So what the hell do you want? But still, it's very, like she has no, she just goes along with stuff.
Yeah.
If people lie to her, she just goes, "Oh my God, I believe you."
And not a
just,
brain in her skull.
Yeah,
apparently.
And she's supposed to be super smart. She's got, I just kept thinking of you in this situation, and you you would be not enjoyable for James Caan to hang out with.
I'd make it my mission to be done.
Yeah.
With the weekend in 30 minutes.
He would return you in 45 minutes and go, "You know what? Never mind. You know, fucking." I don't even want the 65 grand because if she acts like that at home, you have enough problems.
Even begin to describe.
You don't need trouble from me.
Yeah.
Okay, mister. You guys go on your way. Congratulations. Yeah, yeah. Merry Christmas. Have a good one.
Because basically, James Caan is paying $65,000 to have like an unwilling guest.
Yeah.
Like a hostage, basically.
Yeah.
And not agreeable because she's like, you know, "Hey, this is not fucking cool." And she's got her arms crossed. Like, you have no idea
how terrible
dinner would be if I was sitting there. I'd be like, "Listen."
Oh, yeah, because he goes to dinner with her to get to know you, like 2 hours. This is an introductory dinner to see if she'll do it.
So the first thing out of her mouth is saying, "I think that the game was fixed because how did he lose? He has this much odds, like
straight
blah, blah,
flush.
Blah. And he's got a straight flush." So he says that her arguing with him reminds me of Donna Mae. And so then, you know, they're talking. "You're a teacher. I had no idea." "Of course you didn't know. You didn't meet me until
how
today.
How would you?"
Yeah.
"How would you know?"
I would be out of this dinner. I would be just the worst in 30 minutes. Like, I would just be, there would be no, you'd have to like haul me around either as an unconscious person or you'd be like, you know what, Nicolas Cage, good luck. That's sorry, what I mean. Just we'll call it good, or we'll figure out a monthly payment plan. Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I would figure that any normal person would, but they make Sarah Jessica Parker this very agreeable, kind of a weird. Nope. She just has this goal. As long as she gets husband and children, it doesn't matter who it is or what she has to. It's so strange.
So James Caan says that, you know, he's talking about his kids and he's talking about whatever. And he's like, oh, you'll meet him this weekend. And she says, oh, is he coming into town? And she says, yeah. And he says, no, because we're going to Hawaii. Now, here's the semantics. So he said, she's like, I thought it was only in Vegas. And he goes, no, I never said. I said I'd have you for the weekend. So whatever, right?
Yeah, that's the
how confusing
the big catch.
Is this going to be for the adult child? Dad, did you just like literally find a person who is a clone of mom and kidnap her? What are you doing?
I think he just says, this is Betsy and, you know, she's my friend. And then they, you know, go from there probably. Yeah. It probably doesn't explain the whole.
Well, no, because the kids were like,
probably this is weird.
The kids were like, oh, they're such a great couple. But
she's
anyway,
like 35 years younger than you. What's happening here, Dad?
Like, I would have been such a semantics loving asshole during this. I'd be like, you said that I'm going to Hawaii with you in the weekend. I'll be at the airport. So if you want to spend time with me, I'll be sitting in Terminal F.
Yeah.
And I'll see you whenever.
If
we're
going to play
go
semantics.
Home.
Yeah. You'd be terrible.
I'm not
would
going to be a willing participant. No. I'm not going scuba diving.
Oh, she was
I'm
having
not
a ball.
Going swimming. I'm not going golfing. I'm not going hiking. If you want to hang out with me, I'll be here.
It was like that montage was like a typical romantic comedy getting to know you montage of doing a bunch of fun stuff together. Yeah. It was like, what the fuck?
But while they're on the hostage date, Nicolas Cage is chain smoking and gambling more, which he's in debt for $65,000.
Stop
he's
gambling.
Like, let's keep going, I guess. I'm like, sir, no.
He's like a guy.
I guess he's counting on the fact that it'll be good because he's letting him have his girlfriend for the weekend. And it's like, no, you know that's not going to be a thing.
But he was like, he's like a guy who's like a hardcore alcoholic. He just wrapped his car around a fucking tree and, like, you know, ejected his child from the car seat 40 yards out into a fucking field, and he's like, I need a drink. Like, I think you've had enough. I think this is the reason why you're in the situation you're in.
Yeah. Jessica Parker is going to go to Hawaii because she doesn't think that Nicolas Cage is serious about marrying her, because if he was serious, then he would have just married her that afternoon. I gotta say, I agree.
That's good logic. Yeah,
don't go to Hawaii.
Yeah,
like, what? No, just,
those two things don't.
I would have
not
gone
a cause
there
and effect.
And been like, now he wants me to fucking go to Hawaii with him. We're figuring out how to get $65,000 and pay him off because I am not going to Hawaii.
Yeah, you're right. No, there was no cause and effect to that of like one into the other.
So I don't know this person. Chances are I don't like them. I don't really care if I remind you of your ex-wife. You're creepy. You're disgusting. Yuck. Get away from me.
The whole thing is very creepy.
So we have this Hawaii B-roll. And then we go back to New York where Nicolas Cage is. And he's talking to the guy that thinks that his wife is cheating on him with Mike Tyson. And he has this poorly photoshopped image of his wife with Mike Tyson.
It's pretty
clearly
great.
This person cut out a picture.
You can like see the edges and stuff. It's not
pretty
good.
Funny.
Yeah.
So he says, this is a joke.
I have proof now.
Sure.
I have proof. The guy's freaking out.
It's pretty funny because we still have these conversations with people like on Facebook where you're like, oh my God, no, that's a fake.
Yeah,
like,
fake.
Oh
that's
my God,
a Photoshop.
Please. It's so easy to Photoshop that stuff. It's
and this
so
was
easy.
So bad. Yeah. So anybody, it's easily convincible. Mm-hmm. You can convince people easy with a picture.
Teach your family members, old and young, how to spot an original, authentic image.
Yeah.
Okay. Sarah Jessica Parker is being a very good hostage in Hawaii. I'd be the worst person imaginable.
Yeah, you would be just the worst.
So they're having like a conversation, Sarah Jessica Parker and James Caan, because she's kind of like, well, it's creepy because you think you only like me because I look like your ex-wife. And he says, well, it was because you looked like Donna Mae. Now it's not about that. You know, he's like saying that he loves her. Hello, we've been spending a couple of hours together. I mean, obviously, she's been a pretty willing participant, but
she's
like,
been snorkeling for Christ's sake. That's you have to be willing to snorkel.
So,
no one can force you to snorkel.
No.
It's just impossible.
No.
You'd float back up to the
James
top.
James Caan is telling her, like, if that was me, then I would have gone straight from the chapel from the airport. But instead, he went and gambled with me.
And his speech pattern in this is like James Caan caricature almost.
Yeah, it's
where
weird.
He's like, everything is really fast and it's all bursts and, you know, kind of mumble a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like Sonny Corleone, but a little bit more. You know what I mean? A little frustrated. I don't know. Like
I think that's his character for trying to be a comedic actor.
It's like
let me just like make it really weird.
Yeah. Well, he plays it very straight, James Caan.
Yeah,
that's
really
the
good.
Thing. And so does Nicolas Cage, which helps. That's why he plays it so straight.
A volcano erupted, and apparently now there's like a news camera, and they see Sarah Jessica Parker and James Caan only, and they put only them on the TV.
So front and center watching.
Framed with the family, and James Caan has his arm around Sarah Jessica Parker, and Nicolas Cage is like, ooh. But like, not even... It's so funny. They don't even show like other crowd shots. It's only that
it's
family where like the son and the daughter-in-law are like, you know, looking at the grandkid and like, oh, look at this nice family. They're the only family on the island.
And that was like a movie trope back. They used to do that all the time back then. Now it would be like he'd see him on Instagram.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But
back
then they used to do that all the time. If you wanted to see someone remotely, how do you see them? It would always be like somehow the news is there and you're like, hey, what the fuck? And that person's of course watching the news
of
at that
course,
time every time.
Nicolas Cage goes to the airport because he wants to fly to Kauai. I miss airports.
Yeah, I miss going
I never
places.
Thought that I would say that, but I do. I miss them.
I want to go.
I thought it was funny that they, you know, it's Ben Stein there and he's doing, so what happens if I go to whatever? And
he wants to go to Milwaukee.
I love that they say to make your reservation 2 weeks in advance because now you can't even do that. It's like, it's best to make it as soon as possible.
Yeah, 4 months in advance. He's like, I read it before. If you'd make your reservations 2 weeks in advance, Nicolas Cage.
James is inspired by Nicolas Cage's meltdowns.
Well, it's what I want to do places, and he has lost it at this point.
Yeah.
He's online. He doesn't care. He's going to max out his credit cards or whatever and go to Hawaii to try to fucking take his girlfriend away back from a gangster. And he's just had it, and he's like, whatever. And he's like, are you flying today? And the guy's like, no. And he says the 2 weeks thing. He's like, all of us are flying today. He starts.
You're goddamn dang it.
Get your guy. Well, that's when she's like, sir, can you calm down? And he goes, or what? What am I going to, you going to arrest me? You going to send me to airport jail? And he freaks out. He goes, get your ticket and move on. Get your goddamn ticket and move on. And everybody cheers.
Everybody,
and it's wonderful.
James would love to do a lot of these meltdowns.
Oh, I would.
Nicolas Cage does in this movie.
If it was pre-9/11, I would. I would be yelling at people in airports all the time. But now you will get sent to airport jail.
Yeah, you will get
it's
sent
different.
To airport
jail. And they'll stick something up your butt. So don't do it.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Protect your butthole. Don't freak out at the airport. That's my lesson for everyone in this episode. If you get nothing else out of this episode, be cool at the airport so your butthole doesn't get traumatized. Cool.
Thank you for joining us this week, everyone. Nothing's as good as what's going to happen. That's nothing. That's just protect your butthole.
At all costs.
Don't freak out at the airport.
That's it. Whenever you want to, just think my butthole. Just think I want my butthole to be unbreached. And then you'll be okay. I think at that point you'll
have a lot of problems, honey.
Well, that's the only thing that keeps you in line sometimes.
Just think about your butthole. Protect your butthole, everyone.
Protect your butthole.
All right.
And your neck, but mainly your butthole.
In the event that your neck is not in danger.
Yeah. Wu-Tang said could protect your neck. Good advice. I'm telling you, protect your butthole.
Take that
better
step
advice.
Further.
Better advice.
No. They're both equally as good advice.
Yeah,
it's
I guess
just
so.
Just you take it further. Protect your neck. And then
your butthole. Is a...
That's an extra protection.
It's also in peril is what I'm getting at. Both your neck and your butthole at any time something bad could happen. Sorry.
The person that could really use this advice right now is Sarah Jessica Parker.
She could. Her butthole is in huge peril right now. As big as a volcano. That volcano represented the peril her butthole is in.
With molten hot lava coming out of it. Okay. Sarah Jessica Parker learns that there was a whole plan for the kidnapping hostage situation while they're on this like little gondola type thing. I would have been like, sir, you have no idea.
Yeah.
We are in a body of water. This is a an easy vessel to get away from you. I will dump you in this fucking water so fucking fast. You'll be sleeping with the fishes, buddy boy. But anyway.
This is where he admits to her that he set the whole game up.
Yeah,
he says the game
was
clean.
There's a whole plan. But blah, he said, blah, yeah. And then he kisses her, and he's like, you know, stop me at any time.
And then she doesn't stop him. She lets him kiss her.
And then he goes, was that wrong? I'm like, Sarah Jessica Parker.
You would have 100%.
Pushed him in the water.
You would have stabbed him at that point.
No, I wouldn't have stabbed.
Yeah,
I would have pushed him in the water
you
and been like,
him.
Oh, sorry. No.
No?
I don't cut. I'm not that feisty. I push.
Okay. Well,
I'm Irish.
All right, fine.
I'm a different kind of feisty.
Fine. I'm used to the women of my family are all... cutters.
Yeah, I'm so. I
the Italian women will cut you. Watch out.
I like
that. I like, watch out for your butthole as
I
well.
I like root vegetables. So I'm okay. Coming at you.
So Sarah, anyway, yeah, she's getting kissed in a gondola.
He says that
oddly.
He's willing to let her call, you know, take early reservations to go home. She says no, like that's okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, ma'am.
Because she's said that she's going to stay till Wednesday. It's not,
yeah,
to, first
she
it
also
was 2 days.
That she has never
weekend.
Been pursued like this
yeah.
before. And it's like, yeah, it's fucking creepy.
Yeah. This guy's trying to like buy you, but she's fine that instead of it being 2 days, it's 5 days.
Yeah.
And he's like, you could just go home on the 2 days if you want, and I'll consider the whole thing will be washed. And she's like, no, I'm having a good time. And it's like,
yeah.
What the fuck? You're. God damn, your butthole is in peril.
Your
JP.
Butthole is in peril.
Watch your butthole.
Whereas Nicolas Cage is just all about protecting his butthole.
He
He's
is.
On the plane to Kauai. James Caan says to what's his name? Johnny Roast Beef. Keep him away for a day. Somehow he's in Hawaii as well, Johnny Roast Beef, which
is
fine.
Yeah, he goes back and forth. You never see him travel.
I never see him anywhere other than like he's just constantly. It's so weird because I'm like, can you imagine like that's your job? You work for this like gangster guy. And then you're like, oh, I just eat walking sandwiches and just like coordinate at airports.
Hawaii now.
And,
oh,
yeah,
Christ,
whatever.
All right.
So
I gotta go here now. It's weird. Yeah.
Sarah Jessica Parker is trying to call Nicolas Cage to be like, hi, by the way, I'm staying until Wednesday. We're having a great time. I'll get you a souvenir. But, you know, he doesn't answer because he's on the plane.
She wants to see how she feels, I feel like. If I talk to him, am I going to snap out of this and feel the way I felt before? Or am I going to be like, am I going to have lost that love and feeling?
I'd like to yell at him. And
know,
for not marrying me,
yeah,
and
which
be like,
is fair.
And then, by the way, I'll be here till Wednesday.
Yeah, which by the way, be home a couple
not
days
helpful.
Late.
Yeah, really having a good time. I thought that I wouldn't like snorkeling, but I love it.
You know what? It's pretty great. I met this guy's grandkid. That was great.
She I'm basically turned, a step grandma now.
That's what you said. Which we were watching. She's you go. She jumped right into the step grandmother role there. She's playing.
She's like holding the baby.
She's
like,
on the floor with the kid.
The whole family.
The whole family.
Okay, it's James Caan, the son, the daughter-in-law, the baby, and they're all sitting there. And then Sarah Jessica Parker like walks up and she's like, "Oh, what are we doing here?"
Pops
guys?
Down right.
And then she like kneels down next to James Caan and the kids and like
smiling.
I'd be
with
on
the
couch in the other room sitting there fuming, and I'd be sitting here thinking about. Like,
you'd
I
be
just
reading and snacking and fucking giving dirty looks. That's
yeah,
what you'd
I'd be like,
doing.
Listen, buddy, if you're making so much money, where's my snacking cheese?
You would 100% be demanding snacks all through this whole thing. You drug me here. You fucking feed me now. Snacks.
Yeah.
Pronto.
Guess what, bitch? Mama likes poi. I'd be all about going to luau and luau food because it's delicious.
Yeah, I want some
pig.
Roast that shit.
So... The cab driver at the airport has been bribed by James
Pat Morita,
Caan.
By the way.
His name is Mahi. And
Mr. Mahi Mahi.
He immediately finds Nicolas Cage coming from the airport. Johnny Roast Beef says he's like, yeah, like 6'1", like his name's Jack Singer.
6'1", his name's Jack.
It's only Nicolas Cage.
He's the only white guy popping out of the
fucking terminal. So he says, like, hey, do you need a ride? And Nicolas Cage says, yeah, but he wants to make some phone calls first. And then he goes, can you take me to Johnny Corman's house? And he's like,
Tommy. Yeah.
And he says, like, you know, it's a small island. I definitely
everybody
know where
knows.
That is.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage is not protecting his butthole here because
I would
be like, no, this is too good to be true. You know, Tommy Corman.
You're actually
you know
not
Tommy
allowed
Corman.
To solicit rides like that at the airport.
Maybe in 1992.
I think you were always.
In Hawaii,
that was never okay.
We don't know.
Hawaii might be a wild west out there. It's very fun.
So he drives him around to this weird house in the middle of the, you know, I don't know. whatever
vegetation somewhere.
Yeah, and it's Peter Boyle, and he is Chief Orman.
That is, by the way,
Tommy Corman.
Yes, Chief Orman.
Chief Orman.
Hawaii. It is a Hawaiian Peter Boyle.
It is wild.
He has long hair, which is Peter Boyle with hair.
And he's
hair
doing a really, really, really bad Polynesian accent.
Yeah, it's like a cultural appropriation nowadays, but like it's so clearly silly that it's almost it's almost making fun of. It's so weird to watch.
I just thought he should have just had long hair and been a hippie, like whatever, and just been a hippie.
Some guy that they call Chief Orman. Yeah. He doesn't have to be the actual chief, but instead he's like an actual chief, but all he cares about is musicals.
Yeah, yeah, because he has a Les Mis shirt and on. And he's awesome.
He's in like the second act of South Pacific.
He's yelling at Nicolas Cage to put some musical on, like, you know, down there in Kauai, and he's like, when they bring here, and I'm like, okay, let's relax here.
All he wants musicals. He performs South Pacific for everybody,
and I think this is another area of the movie where we were inspired by Nicolas Cage. He realizes that Mahi is not going to be helping him get to James Caan and Sarah Jessica Parker, so he's like, you know what, I left my whatever in
My keys must have fallen out of my pocket.
In the bathroom. Like, could you please do me a huge solid and go get that for me? And he's like, yeah. And he goes, oh, thanks so much. Like, I really appreciate
Everybody's so friendly here.
Everybody's so friendly here. And then he takes the taxi.
He steals his cab.
Steals the taxi. Knows exactly where he's going and how to drive all around. He knows exactly how to find.
Well, he's calling, trying to get addresses. And
he knows exactly how to find these people.
Or
No, I'm in Waimea.
Is it two A's or three A's? Is it Me? No, I'm in Waimea. Yeah, that's the line. Yeah.
James Caan proposes. She says no. She says that she can't marry him like this, which means that she can marry him another way, apparently.
Yeah, she's leaving the door.
About fucking semantics, not protecting her butthole.
She's leaving the door cracked.
James Caan lied, and he said that Nicolas Cage put her up at the card game. He said, you know, I didn't suggest it. We didn't come to this agreement. Nicolas Cage says, you know, in order to settle this debt, I would like you to go out with my girlfriend for the weekend, because he knew that that would upset her.
He said he better like put her in, like, yeah, I'll like, $3,000
no, no, no,
and
no, no, no.
I'll raise my girlfriend.
That's what it is. And then he also lied about him owing $65,000. He said that he only owes $3,000.
He owes me $3,000.
How would you believe that?
Yeah, you'd be like,
I would be like, okay, listen, my boyfriend is a nut. He has nightmares about his mom vacuuming in the nude. Okay, he would not be like this over $3,000 because I'm a second grade teacher. My parents can probably get us some money.
They don't have five kids.
Yeah,
one of them's got a fucking Visa card with $3,000 on it. They're adults that don't have children. They have something. They both have jobs and no kids. They have a couple of bucks.
He's a private investigator.
They're fine.
And
Sally Mohler's can get $3,000,
also,
like that.
And also, he has poker night all the time at his house. So it's like, you'd think that like he wouldn't be so weird over $3,000.
Well, later on, Sally Mohler's bails him out for $5,000, no problem.
Yeah.
So, I mean, $3,000 is not an issue. Yeah, so that's what's so stupid.
Anyway, Nicolas Cage found the son and the daughter-in-law, and they're like, oh, yeah, they make a good couple. They're over at this, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for coming by. Like, are you friends? Who are you friends of? My dad's or Betsy's? And he's like, oh, kind of both. Like, you know,
like,
whatever.
It's so great to see dad happy again. And he's like, yeah, it's fantastic, Nicolas
Meanwhile,
Cage.
I think that he... The son would be like weirded out. Like, my dad's obviously going through it right now. Like, did you see how closely? Like, everybody else makes a comment about
like
that.
Him.
They're like, they go, wow, that looks like number one.
Yeah,
like,
you go, that looks like a striking resemblance to the first Mrs. Garman.
Yeah, it was like, oh.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage finds Sarah Jessica Parker. She's upset. She doesn't know who or what to believe right now. Well, I don't know. I'm assuming that that's what she means. But she's like, I need to be by myself right now. And she goes over to the cliffs where she's just like looking out at the ocean. Nicolas Cage is like screaming at her like, Betsy, Betsy.
It's on a golf course. He's like on a green.
Yeah.
Like a hole over yelling, Betsy.
James Caan attacks him and they're fighting. They're like fist fighting.
It's pretty funny too. Because he's like, he's walking going, Betsy. And then he just like disappears as James Caan tackles.
Wow.
It's very, Nicolas Cage just, anytime a series of bad events is happening to Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, the more and more desperate he gets.
It's so fucking funny in a comedy. It really is. It's really good.
So they're fighting, and he says, "You either stay the James Caan says to Nicolas Cage, you either stay the hell away from her, or you give me $65,000." Nicolas Cage screams again. Sarah Jessica Parker thinks that she hears something because the ocean's so loud. By the way, the ocean would not be that loud. It would be, I don't think so, but I don't know the acoustics of this particular cliff. She seems pretty far away from the ocean itself. And if you could hear somebody on like a green behind you, no problem.
One word, like I said,
maybe. I don't know. I've got to try it out. We need Mythbusters in on this. But anyway, so he said, James Caan says to her, "So what do you think about my marriage proposal? Like, you know, that just happened a couple hours ago." And she says, "Okay, cool. Let's get married. Let's do it." And that she's going to want children very soon.
Very soon.
So that's why it's just kind of like a plug and play. It almost seems
like
she's
want children very soon. Yeah.
It almost seems like she's been like weirdly hypnotized, and like so now she's like in a trance. Like,
that's how.
Yes, I want to get married.
So a lot of women were portrayed in movies back then, and that's got a lot of the point of it, why they were portrayed like that is a lot of women were like that back then. Not in a zombie, but they were like, I want to get married and have kids. Yeah. And you know,
no,
pre-25, they wanted.
I just meant a couple hours ago she was like.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage, I'm still engaged to him. Like, cool.
Yeah. She was freaked out by the whole situation.
And now she's like, I'm going to want children very soon.
Yeah. If we do this, I'm going to want children. It was like, well, that was a big fucking
switch. That's a weird flip. But anyway, so he also had, James Caan also had the driver say when the next morning, anyone who would put you up for $3,000, I just want to say,
yeah, and James Caan's like, hey, come on.
Yeah. Glad. It's just to really cement like what a poo-poo head Nicolas Cage was.
Yeah.
You know.
They're trying, and it's so funny how they keep trying to. He has all this power, right?
Yeah.
Like they keep alluding to this power that he has, yet he can't keep Nicolas Cage from doing anything. His power really is pretty nebulous. Huh? But I mean, like he has the power to have a fucking plane canceled.
Yeah.
All those people. Who knows if people had appointments? We have no idea. Yeah. All those people, his plane gets canceled later on. He has all this power, but yet he really, it's no power. Nicolas Cage is always up his ass. He's always right there. You can't stop one dipshit.
Always challenging him. Yeah.
Always challenging him. One dipshit he can't stop.
Now Nicolas Cage is in jail. So you'd think that James Caan would be like, okay, like he's been arrested. He's in jail. I'm good now.
The fight is funny too because he's on. James Caan's on top of him. Nicolas Cage is trying to get him off
him.
Like, and then
Bob Barker and Adam Sandler and Happy Gilmore.
And then two security guards come and James Caan rolls over on his back and acts like Nicolas Cage is beating him up. And Nicolas Cage like sits up to get off of him and James Caan's holding on to him like a baby. Like he comes up and, you know, like Nicolas Cage is killing him.
Yeah.
And he's just going, Betsy, his arms are out. Nicolas Cage is not even holding on to him.
So he got arrested. So you'd think that he would be like, okay, well, like he's like arrested. He's never going to make bail because he owes me a bunch of money, like, you know, whatever. But Sally Mohlers bails Nicolas Cage out of jail. Mahi takes him to the airport.
Complete turn of character for Pat Morita here. Yeah. Pat Morita's just like, you know what? I feel bad for you, bro. I'm going to help you. It's like, since when? You were fucking him over before.
He said like, oh, I just wanted to let you know that James Caan and Sarah Jessica Parker are on their way to Vegas to get married.
Yeah.
Like,
and
good luck.
He dropped the charges for stealing his car. Like, this guy was working for James Caan. What made him all of a sudden be Nicolas Cage's best friend? Because he stole his car? I don't understand why they're so close now.
Well, I don't know.
Odd character.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, because I was going to say, I don't know the connection between Mahi and James Caan, but...
Apparently, he works for him. I mean, that's all I can imagine.
Well, I can only imagine that Mahi must have needed the cash that Johnny Rusby...
Apparently so. He seemed to do things like right? He's like, yeah, to keep him away from Tommy's house. He's like, all right. So, I mean, it was all very first name basis. He wasn't, you know, I work for Tommy Corman, right? All right, don't get at this guy.
Yeah.
It was all very casual.
And then James Caan is weird because he keeps bringing up Donna Mae. You shouldn't live where Donna lived. Let's get a place in Westchester.
Westchester, Connecticut, something like that.
You shouldn't live where Donna lived.
It's not fair. It's not fair to you.
That's not, I don't know. It's not cool.
It's not fair to you. And he goes, she said, I can't think about this right now. And he goes, you just relax. I'll think about it.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
You relax.
James Caan is trying to sabotage Nicolas Cage's flight because Johnny Roast Beef is with them now. He's in Vegas now. He's never like with them, but then he always ends up with them.
He's just like following. He's in the trail car, so he's like following Nicolas Cage.
He's trying to sabotage Nicolas. So Johnny Roast Beef's like, he's in San Jose. Like, how did that happen?
He missed the flight to L.A. Got to San Jose,
and then this is where I put that. James Caan is like Robert Loggia in Over the Top.
Yeah.
Like, he's always trying to But it's like, you already got her to marry you. So, like, it doesn't really matter if Nicolas Cage gets there.
But he's trying to keep...
I mean, he was right in the end.
Yeah, because he's trying to keep Nicolas Cage away. He knows that if Nicolas Cage is there and he says, what are you talking about? I really love you and I didn't put you up in a card game. And she's going to know and it's going to be over. He knows that. So he's got to keep Cage away.
Okay. But then what? That makes sense.
Suppose they got married and Nicolas Cage shows up a half hour later with this whole story. Now what?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
so
really
she's
going to
be like, sorry, I understand that this was all a lie, but I'm married now. I'm going to go have kids with James Caan. Yeah. That's not what would have happened.
No.
It would have been over then. So whether they're married or not.
Yeah. Sarah
fucking
Jessica
stupid.
Parker tries to call Nicolas Cage. She leaves him a voicemail. I don't know why you put me up for the, like, you know.
Not a voicemail. An answering machine message
on the tape
because it cuts her off and everything.
She's like, I don't understand why you put me up in the bet, but you know, I guess that's fine. Anyway, I got to talk to you. Which it's like, you know.
Yeah, not, okay, I'm going to.
No shit.
Bear James Caan's children.
Yeah.
That never comes up.
Nicolas Cage grabs a piece of cardboard that says, you know, to Vegas or something like that, fly to Vegas. And he's going around the air park just like.
He's hitchhiking around
on a plane.
On a runway.
Yeah.
Looking for like a charter plane or a private little plane around like a little runway.
Well, I mean, you know, he's $65,000 in debt, but why not just like really fucking go for the fences?
Well, fuck it. Swing, baby. Yeah. Swing.
So he sees a plane full of Elvises. He figures they must be going to Vegas. They are skydiving Elvises.
Fine Elvises. Utah chapter.
Sarah Jessica Parker says to
Roy
James
Bacon.
Caan, Roy Bacon is the chapter leader.
Sorry, he's the chapter president.
She's the chapter president. Sarah Jessica Parker wants to talk to James Caan. Yes?
I was going to say, full disclosure, I've seen this movie at least 100 times.
But
so
you didn't know how it began.
The weird part is I used to watch it when I was like when I was a teenager all the time. For some reason, my aunt had one of those illegal like early 90s black cable boxes where
you
get all the pay-per-views and shit, those black boxes. So I used to just have her record whatever three movies they were playing on pay-per-view at the time. So you'd always have the new movies. And I remember this being one of them when I was like 12 or something. And then I saw it a trillion times because those are the tapes I had. So
it's a good movie.
And it was wonderful, but I didn't remember the opening, like the whole beginning with the mother and with Sarah Jessica Parker. I didn't remember any of that. I remembered nothing before they got to Vegas.
I forgot about the beginning part too. I only remember what happened. I only remember in Vegas, which is funny because they say whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but we only remember.
That's all we remember. I figure because you had to rewind a tape, so I figure I just rewound it as far as like, well, I don't need the beginning. I like the Vegas part. That's probably what it was. Laziness.
So Sarah Jessica Parker wants to talk to James Caan. She says that she wants to wait a few weeks because she wants to talk to Nicolas Cage.
There's feelings there.
So James Caan says that he'll give her $500,000 cash to marry him right now. Nicolas Cage doesn't realize that he's in the skydiving Elvis's plane, that he has to skydive.
Yeah, they
tell him. What size is your cape? And he's like, why is everybody putting...
And he goes, 40 regular.
Parachutes on.
What's with the parachutes?
Yeah.
They all laugh.
You guys are being a little overcautious. I know this is a small plane.
It's a short flight. I don't know. I just think maybe you're being overcautious. And then, skydiving.
Then James Caan gets very weird and violent, and he's saying that she's being very rude to him.
In the lobby of the Bally's Hotel, you're being rude. You're being rude right now.
Yeah.
He's
grabbing her by the arm, like, don't you dare walk away from me. And then he says, like, I'll give you $1 million to marry me.
Yeah, first it's $500,000.
Yeah.
No matter what happens. So it doesn't work out, you keep it. Yeah, that's what he says.
You can keep it and, you know, no hard feelings. But, like, actually hard feelings, because she's trying to say right now, like, let's wait a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you have to marry me right now.
He said it would be irresponsible of you to turn this down. That's what he says to her. And then he says
then you know what you say? Call me.
Well, yeah. And then
irresponsible.
Then he says, you promised to marry me. And if you make a promise to Tommy Corman, you keep it. So he's threatening her that you're going to marry me.
Protect your butthole. And she does, because she says, I have to go to the bathroom, which is always the answer.
And there's nothing a man can say to that.
You always say, I have to go to the bathroom. Guys don't know what
that's like. We don't know what's going on down there. You could say...
What could the bathroom mean? Do you have your period? Oh, no.
And maybe you do. Maybe it's a... You could literally tell us, a fucking 6 gallons of blood's about to come out on the floor right now if I don't go. We'd go, oh, shit, Jesus, get her to a bathroom. We have no fucking idea. We don't know.
It's just so funny.
And we're very frightened. fighting for you.
Anybody says, like, I have to go to the bathroom. Like, in movies where it's a little kid, the men are always terrified. They're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
What could be happening?
A little kid or a woman, you have to let them go to the bathroom because we don't know what could be. A little kid, we don't want to clean shit up.
Right.
And if it's a woman, we're like, oh, God, they might, oh, Jesus.
But anyway, that's always your response. I have to go to the bathroom. If you're on a first date with somebody and they're being weird, you have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Always go to the bathroom.
And if you really want to do it, just be like, yeah, it's churning, boy.
Let me tell you, it's my first day of my period, and I've got the period shits.
Yeah.
And then they would be like, you know what? I don't know what that is, but I'll see you.
You would, whoever was, yeah, if they were really into you and being weird, they'd be like, yeah, maybe another time. So, okay.
There you go, everybody. That's how you get out of your creepy dates.
It's true.
If some guy keeps texting you that you're like, you know what, I'm not really into this guy anymore. But like, how was your day today? Fine. I had the period shits all day today.
Be like, seriously, hardcore, just bleeding and shit. And if you tell a guy that, he'll never talk to you again. Guarantee. He'll be like, oh my God.
Except for if I were to text that to James,
might not talk to any women.
Can I get you something for that?
Yeah, I'm nice. I like her. But if you just met somebody.
Only me. He doesn't care about your period shits.
Yeah, your period. You keep that to yourself. But not you, but other people out there. But everybody, yeah, I think that's how you can scare a man who you just met.
We just helped you.
Being weird. Protect your butthole and do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
right.
You need
to go to the bathroom.
So we get a...
violent period shits.
How was your day today? Oh, my God.
So
on
violent.
Top of feeling like a stuck pig where I'm just sweating. I also have to be chained to the toilet today. And they'd be like, wow, all right.
Then. My.
So I'll never see you again. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, we get a crash course in skydiving. You pull the yellow cord and then red. Yellow, then red.
Yeah.
Yellow, then red. Yellow, then red.
Which is all he does the whole time. Yellow, then red. Yellow, then red. Yellow,
Sarah Jessica Parker's got some moves. They think she's going up to the room, but really she's going down because she's got 5 minutes to go to the bathroom and think about this. And then we're getting married.
So she ends up
getting married.
The
basement. And so Sonny Corleone, James Caan says, you better go find her. And Johnny Roast Beef is like, where, boss? Like, you know, whatever.
I don't know.
Just go find her. Yellow than red, yellow than red, yellow than red. Johnny Roast Beef is looking for Sarah Jessica Parker, like through the kitchen. We're getting some parallel editing here.
He stops and
grabs a roll and he's dipping it in the sauce. Like,
he's got to have.
Of course, the Italian man had to stop.
He's a fat guinea. He's going to stop for sauce.
Oh,
it's
what
probably
is
accurate.
Sauce? Hey,
it's probably accurate is the sad part, but that's fine.
Anyway, then he goes back up to tell James Caan she's somewhere in the basement. And he says, we'll just, you know, keep looking for her. I'm surprised that they didn't have Johnny Roast Beef like have sauce like on his mouth or like
on his tie.
Because he's always like, are you eating again? Hey, boss, what am I supposed to do? They got sauce down there. I'm not supposed to eat it.
I took a bite. Because earlier he was eating a sandwich on the phone. He's like, you eating again? He's like, I swear I'm not eating this. Mouthful of sandwich.
And so then he's got to go back down, and I'm surprised they didn't show him like furiously dipping a bunch of bread in and eating sauce and whatever. Anyway, it just felt really stupid to me, and I felt bad for Johnny Roast Beef.
Yeah, well, poor Johnny Roast Beef.
He has more characteristics than just eating bread and sauce.
He doesn't have a lot of skill set to Johnny Roast Beef other than to tell people to do things and to eat sauce, although maybe he just hasn't had the chance to shine.
Yeah, because everybody typecasts him.
That's what I'm saying.
Give him an opportunity. Johnny Roast Beef, I will be your ally.
Johnny Roast Beef, do a one-man show, all of you.
Yes.
Just, I'm Johnny Roast Beef. That's what they think of me.
I do more than eat sandwiches.
I've eaten everything from set to set. Scorsese movies.
Protect your butthole. All right, so here come the flying Elvises. They are descending upon Las Vegas around Bally's Hotel. They're like, come on, everybody, go outside and let's see the flying Elvises. So this is a coordinated event.
Sarah Jessica Parker's
dressed like one of these showgirls, and she is just Sarah Jessica Parker in a costume.
She's a foot shorter than all the other showgirls.
How she was able to get that whole updo going in like 3 seconds, not sure, but you know what? Those showgirls are talented, so they probably did help her.
She's good.
Nicolas Cage is pumping himself up before jumping out of the plane. Yellow then red, yellow then red, yellow then red. And then as soon as he gets to the door, somebody says, no, it's the red one and then the yellow. He's like, wait, no. And
he goes, Roy was just messing with you. He goes, what? What are you about?
Who's messing with me? I was. Okay.
And he goes, I was just kidding. He's like, who were you kidding about? What's happening?
So Nicolas Cage jumps out. And then he does James's favorite thing. I'll let him perform it.
He's just flying and he's watching all the Elvises pull their cords and go up in the thing. And you could tell he's like dying. He's going, Betsy, Betsy, Betsy. And then he just goes, yellow, red, ah! And puts his hands in the air as he pulls the cords. Yellow, red, ah!
It's so good.
It's very funny.
I thought it was funny that they had weird announcements. They were like making this New York guy making his maiden debut.
They were announcing the Elvises as they're jumping.
Okay, so they did announce.
Yeah,
all the rest
they were
of
announcing
okay.
like different. You could hear
he's from New York. It's his maiden voyage, and I'm like, how the fuck did they get this information?
And it's Don Pardo doing it too.
Oh yeah,
that's the other thing. It is definitely
SNL, yeah.
Yeah, he's like announcing the flying Elvises.
So she hears Sarah Jessica Parker hears Jack Singer from New York jumping, and she's like, what?
Yeah.
And James Caan is, you know, following right behind her, and he's like, oh no, it's over for me.
He jumped
out of a plane. It's over for me.
Here he comes.
Nicolas Cage lands. He sees Sarah Jessica Parker in her disguise. He asks her if she got a job there.
She's like, where were you, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I was doing this. Did you get a job here?
Yeah. The delivery was flawless.
That was a great comic delivery there.
Johnny Roast Beef runs into James Caan, and he's like, I can't find her, boss. And like, you know, James Caan's like, you idiot. She's right there, yeah. Of course, because he's just a fat idiot.
She's making out with this fucking guy. What's wrong with you?
I thought that Johnny Roast Beef should have had a sandwich.
That he should have run up with a sandwich, like meat hanging, falling out of it. That would have been good.
Because then he could have been like, hey, boss, I brought sausage and peppers because I know that your heart's broken and everything like that. And, you know, I don't know what makes you feel better, but for me, it was sausage and peppers. Like, I was like, geez.
Yeah, I would like him to have shown up and him be like, you stopped for food, and be like, I had it in my pocket.
Yeah.
They didn't stop, I just took it out.
I was trying to find her, boss.
It's that I needed the energy. You know, boss, I'm chasing her around.
The chef said that they saw someone. Well, yeah, I needed the energy.
Chasing her around. I need the energy.
So then Nicolas Cage randomly, just weirdly says, I had a dream about my mom. And he said that I told her I love this girl and I'm going to marry her. Also that she was nude.
Yes, because Sarah Jessica Parker said, was she vacuuming naked again? And he goes, no. She said she opened her eyes. She told me that. Of course, she was naked. So that's the kind of closing line.
And then I think
it's improving is what it is.
I think that he would have to, I think that he could go into somebody's office and be like, I keep having nightmares about my mom in the nude. And they would go, you know what? I will talk to you for free.
Yeah, there's some pretty basic issues there you have.
So anyway, that's what Colty, I think Colty from 90 Day Fiancé likes to dream about Debs in the nude. But anyway.
I don't think he has to dream.
He can just.
Yeah. I think he just dials it up.
Tap his heels together and it's there.
It's like, hello, Deb.
Okay, so at their wedding, they get married at a chapel. The Flying Elvises, they are all in attendance at the wedding because they are now a brotherhood. They flew in a plane with Nicolas Cage. They bonded. They did the adrenaline rush thing, which clearly you'd think that he would be into that because he likes gambling, so he likes the adrenaline.
It is a great still of them at the wedding, you know, like from the officiant's perspective of that shot, and it's Nicolas Cage in his Elvis outfit. Thankfully, they didn't put stupid hair on him. It's still Nicolas Cage is his head, but it's him in the Elvis outfit. It's all lit up with all the lights on it, and Sarah Jessica Parker in her showgirl uniform.
Elvis impersonators.
And then the whole congregation is filled out with Elvis impersonators.
He's so excited. Yeah. He loves love.
He loves, hey man, Roy Bacon's an excitable man. That's all there is to it.
He's just into it, man. He loves love.
He wants to jump out of a plane for
anyway.
And that Roy Bacon also said, there's only two things in this world that's a sure thing. Because Nicolas Cage, he goes, are you sure these parachutes are going to open? And he goes, only two things. Even the king himself said only two things in this world a sure thing. Coupe de Villes and hookers. And they all laughed. That was apparently Elvis said that.
I don't know
if it's true or not.
Well, we have no idea.
Those are both a sure thing, though.
I guess.
I mean.
Yeah. But anyway.
Also opiates. That was what Elvis didn't know, or barbiturates, whatever he died from.
Fried food.
Yeah, well, all of those things are real.
Well, anyway, that was the movie. It's over. It's done. We are finito.
Yeah.
Finished. Fiend. Loved this movie.
I loved
so
it.
So exciting.
I enjoyed the shit out of this movie.
Let's go ahead and jump out of a plane. Let's jump out of a plane and let us fly into the night and land at the Hygelmeter. Does that make sense?
I think it does.
Okay,
let's go to the Hygelmeter.
The Hygelmeter is our unit of measurement. It's the way we rate our movies on a scale of one Hygel to five Hygels. Five Hygels being the Worst movie you've ever seen?
Yeah, five is more punishing.
Worst movie you've ever seen, most punishing thing ever. One,
not bad.
Not bad.
Not too shabby.
James, I will let you go first.
Okay. This is an easy one for me because I seriously enjoy this movie. So yeah. I am going to give this one negative, which means it's good. The less Heigels, the better. I am going to give it negative 34 Heigels, one for every flying Elvis in this movie. One for 34, negative 34 Heigels. It's fantastic. It's one of those movies. It's older, but you will laugh at it if you watch it. It moves quickly. It's one of those older movies I can't recommend enough to people who haven't seen a lot from that era. Go for it. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's a good movie. We watched it on Stars.
You know who Sarah Jessica Parker is. You know who Nicolas Cage
is.
She's
cute. Yeah. She's funny. She looks great.
This is Nicolas prime Cage Sarah Jessica hilarious. Parker. Yeah.
I'm going to give this movie zero Heigels. I love this movie.
Go.
I was a little bit upset about the willingness to participate as a captive.
That's
okay.
Yeah. It's not progressive at all, but it's funny as shit.
No, no. It is a funny movie. And Sarah Jessica Parker is a delight in this movie.
She is
truly hilarious. Nicolas Cage is wonderful. And James Caan is great. Johnny Roast Beef is good. Everybody is good in this movie. Little cameos.
Yeah. Jerry Tarkanian, the coach of UNLV for a long time, was at the
really
poker table. What's his name? Cassell. The goddamn blonde old guy at the table.
Oh my goodness.
He's hilarious.
He's hilarious. They did use, because this movie is PG-13, and we did get to use, there was an Elvis impersonator at the poker table.
Singing.
And he was singing Elvis songs.
At a tense point in the poker game.
And this, that guy said, oh, shut the fuck up.
He goes, shut the fuck up.
It was great.
Elvis to shut the fuck up is a good way to use your fuck, I think.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage is such a treat to us all. Like you said, he is a joke. I have sent many Nicolas Cage sequins pillows, a blanket, a stocking, plenty of Nicolas Cage things to my cousin Aaron in Chicago. I'm sorry, Aaron. I love you. And I know that you're on to me for Nicolas Cage stuff, so I won't send you any more Nicolas Cage stuff, but I will send you other things to aggravate.
I like doing that. It's funny. This movie and Moonstruck are both really great Nicolas Cage. Moonstruck is fantastic. Yeah. It's great. It's so good.
Of course.
But so thank you for letting me watch this week.
Well, of course. Cinderella Story was quite punishing.
Not choosing.
I thought that this movie was, this is a fun movie. It is a romantic comedy. It's kind of like Overboard, where there is a lot of flaws.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
In the movie, so we can still make fun of it, but we can still love it. But anyway, we hope you guys loved the movie. We hope you guys loved the telling of the movie from our point of view. If you do love us, please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.
Please. Or that purple icon.
Whatever. I don't know which platforms allow you to rate anything anymore.
If you can rate us, rate us.
If you
can. It helps us.
That's very much appreciated.
Yes.
If you don't like me or if you don't like the podcast, just shut up about it. It's not that big of a deal. Chances are I probably don't like you either. So it's not a huge... follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.com/YouGotHeigled, YouGotHeigld. We do bonus episodes on Patreon, Patreon.com/YouGotHeigled, same spelling. Like I said, we talk 90 Day Fiancé, we talk Blotsy, where I tell James to look at movie posters that already exist that he's never seen and ask him to tell me what the plot is.
And I'm never right, shockingly enough.
Shockingly enough, I also have a game where we make our own rom-com. We have, like, your character, your love interest, your job, your location, and like an obstacle to overcome.
That's fun. Yeah, you get stuck. I got stuck with all these random bits.
Yeah, you got everybody from Heartbreakers. Gene Hackman.
I got like Gene Hackman and then like Kate Hudson as a couple. How the fuck am I supposed to put Gene Hackman and Kate Hudson together? This is a bad romantic comedy.
Julia Roberts and Gene Hackman.
No, it wasn't. It was Kate Hudson. And I'm like, no, this is wrong.
Not Kate Hudson. It was Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts is as old as Gene Hackman at this point, for Christ's sake.
No, but it was Julia Roberts.
I don't think it was.
We can knuckle up right
Somebody
now.
Somebody has heard it. They know, but I don't remember. But
okay, anyway, that's
bad.
At patreon.com/YouGotHeigled.
Please.
If you want to just be a lovely person, our PayPal is YouGotHeigled@gmail.com. Same spelling, YouGotHeigled. We have merch. It's highgoyourself.threadless.com. I think I put them in the bios of any of our social medias, so you can find that there.
Cool.
I also put it in the episode description. We have a new I'm Abroad design. That Maddie from Dame Studio helped me design. It is wonderful and I love it. And then if you want to follow me on Twitter and Instagram, it's at Sarah H is funny. S-A-R-A-H-H is funny. I have two books on Amazon. They're called Small Potatoes. If you are interested in hearing my rantings and ravings about food, public bathroom policies, or whether or not I wanted to come to your house party, I have that on Amazon. So just kind of search for Small Potatoes.
They're
Sarah
good.
Hunt
They're
on
goddamn
Amazon.
Funny. Listen, read them, damn it.
I'm done talking about myself.
You can find me at Jimmy P is funny, or just you know my name. If you can find that, you'll figure it out. I don't know how to do that. But also, you can listen to my other two shows. Check me out on every Tuesday on Crime and Sports and every Thursday on Small Town Murder. Thank you guys for hanging out with us.
And delightful podcasts that we spend a lot of our time working on. So I think that for this podcast, we're probably going to go to like maybe doing like a week off in the month, like doing 3 weeks on and then 1 week off, just because sometimes we get really caught up in doing a lot of other show stuff, or just, you know, like the dog getting sick and we're like, fuck, we have no free time to, there's no time to just like, you know, do something like that. Or, you know, if like I have a really bad sinus headache, like we really don't have much wiggle room. So I think we're going to try to do 3 on, 1 off. That's my coach. Yeah. Talk that I just did. I'm like, let's get ready, 3 on, 1 off. And then, you know, that's just really terrible. But anyway, speaking of coaching, hi, I'm going to do our Patreon shout outs now.
Oh, please. Yes. Let's let them fly.
Because I've been practicing
these
this
are
name.
Good people.
I always mess it up every single time that I say it. Siobhan Dugan.
Ooh,
I
nice
did
work.
It, I think. Sorry, Siobhan, if I didn't do it. Kate with no last name. Amanda Mitchell. Kip Soosley. Megan O'Brien. Joshua Hinkemeyer. Heather Ramsey, Ryan Bender, Santiago Quinones, Linda Thatanakam. Uh-oh.
I probably messed that up
bad.
Maybe it's
perfect.
And
you know what? I don't think so, but that's fine. I apologize. Samantha Bivens, Ellie Hennessy, Liz Cooper, Erica Anderson, Melissa Silsby, Jay Elliott, Rachel Bruce, Michael Glidden, Andrea Gregory, and of course, Ashley Vio Duty, just out there being the most wonderful person ever. She always donates to us and she hangs out and we love her and she is fan friggin' fantastic.
Yeah, this week 90 Day Fiancé on Patreon, right?
Oh, yes. So this week, I know we were going to do relationship advice. We only got one email, and not that that person's email is unimportant. It is a very long email, and I have a lot of thoughts about it. I want to, because there's a lot of moving pieces, so I want to spend more time reading it and trying to come up with good and thoughtful, helpful advice. So this week, we're just going to talk about our friends
up
at
to date.
90 Day
we're
going to
get up to date on 90 Day Fiancé,
happily,
the new season.
Yeah, happily ever after and or the other way. We're not
we'll
sure.
Get
we'll
into both.
How it goes.
We'll probably just meld them together.
Yeah,
because
I was gonna say, we might even talk about pillow talk as well, just because fuck it, why
it's
not?
It's going to be 90 Day Fiancé talk. Gossip, all that shit.
Hot goss.
What
and
we've
then,
heard.
Yeah, also, I'd love for you things. Guys to hear James's current obsession. Session with Below Deck.
Oh, yes. We're going to talk about Below Deck at some point. I need to discuss
deck,
boat people, damn it.
Below Deck Mediterranean, and now we have started on Below Deck sailing yachts.
Not so keen on that one.
Why? I think
it's fine.
It's
okay. It's all
right. We just only watched the first episode.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. You're right. We got to get into it more. But
I think Captain Glenn is going to be... I think he's going to be fine.
I feel like I don't know.
Okay, can I tell you, James has been having a lot of boat people dreams. He's been having a lot of dreams.
I have boat dreams. I wake up.
That we have been working on the yachts, and he woke up and he said,
I wake up so stressed out.
I had a dream we were boat people. We had to do so much work. They wanted all the toys.
Yeah, all the floating, all the jet skis and shit.
It's on Hulu. It's on Bravo. Watch Below Deck. Watch 90 Day Fiancé with us. It's so much fun. The only thing that we can do right now is we can go on a journey and judge other people's life decisions because we're all stuck at home. So let's start, you know, really looking into other people who are putting themselves on display.
I'm into it. Let's do it.
That's good. Let's do that. And then you guys can go heigle yourselves.
Go heigle yourselves, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.